We are being encouraged to eat naturally, eat fresh, eat more vegetables. Would you be surprised to discover that eat naturally was a big move in Nazi Germany? Are you badgered every day about eating fresh? Don't eat processed stuff, chuck all that tin stuff out. Eat fresh vegetables, fresh fruit. If you think that's New Age, think again. Did you realise it's part of the Nazi propaganda? I certainly didn't. Corinna Tritell is professor at Washington University in St. Louis, professor of history, and she joins me now to fill us in. Corinna Tritell, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thank you.
Corinna, how did you come across this extraordinary fact that the Nazis were big eat natural people?
Well, anyone who travels to Germany today knows that Germans of all different political persuasions are very fond of natural eating. So as a historian, I knew that there had to be some kind of a past to that present practice. It's also a well-known fact, kind of a fact that historians like to laugh about, that Hitler was a vegetarian and lots of the top Nazi leaders were vegetarians. And instead of laughing about it, I decided, maybe that's something worth exploring.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly was worth exploring. What did you find in terms of why the Nazis adopted what you might call propaganda about eating fresh? It wasn't just because, you know, their boss Hitler was a vegetarian, was it?
Right. No, it really didn't have much at all to do with Hitler being a vegetarian.
No.
I'd say it had to do with two major things. One is, of course, that although we tend not to think about this piece of the Third Reich, the Nazis were very interested in health. You had to be of the right race, of course, for them to care about your health. But if you were about the right race, they really cared about propagandizing health practices that would support the Aryan body and eating more naturally, eating organic, eating less meat, less refined sugar and other processed foods was part of that health promotion in a racial sense. And then the other thing that the Nazis were very concerned about was losing another world war to hunger. So hunger had been one of the things that had defeated them in the First World War, and they wanted to make very sure that Germans ate well during the next war. And eating naturally is much more efficient on your resources than eating our typical industrialized diet of lots of meat, lots of refined sugar, lots of imported foods, and so on. So there were a couple of really important reasons there.
Mm. So who within the Nazis and when came up with the idea of, you know, leave our food as natural as possible, a call to arms, if you like?
Yeah, so that slogan comes from a Nazi physician by the name of Werner Kolat, who was actually trained around the First World War as a bacteriologist, which was the really hot science in the early 20th century. It's the study of germs. And the hunger experiences during the First World War turned him and his whole generation on to the issue of hunger and nutritional deficiency diseases. And so in the 1930s, he was an ardent Nazi and he had risen in his profession. And he ran a hygiene institute at one of the German universities and got very interested in the natural diet as a way of furthering the regime's racial goals. And so he's the one who came up with that particular slogan.
Mm. It wasn't really until quite late in the war, though, that he came up with that slogan. But even prior to that, were they nonetheless promoting this fresh food thing? It was 1942, I think, that slogan was launched.
Yes. So Werner Kolat first wrote that slogan down in 1942, but he's really just one example of a very long interest the Nazis had in eating naturally. It goes back to 1933 when they first took power. They began propagandizing about natural foods. They started supporting biodynamic farmers right away. It was a long-term interest.
Mm. Now, you were talking about the hunger following World War One. In those times, what sort of numbers of deaths are attributed to hunger or starvation?
Well, that's still a contested question among historians, but you know, the estimates run from anywhere between 500,000 to 1 million extra Germans dying during or just after the First World War because of malnutrition caused by the Allied blockade during the war.
Mm. And that hunger caused revolt within Germany as well, didn't it?
Yes, when people get hungry, they tend to riot and they tend to doubt, you know, the legitimacy of their own government. And hunger was a big problem on the German home front from about 1915 onwards. And by 1917, it had gotten so bad that, you know, respectable people were stealing potatoes and bread. People who had never been out on the streets to protest before were out on the streets protesting. Yeah, it was really a very serious crisis for the German government.
Yeah. And people were encouraged to eat less meat. Fair enough, I get that. But in particular, they were advised to give up beef and pork. Why give up beef and pork?
Yes. Well, so beef and pork and all of these sort of larger animals that we typically eat for their meat, they are very tasty, but they use plant resources very inefficiently. You can actually feed many more people. I'm not the first person to say this. You can talk to economists who will say essentially the same thing. You can feed many more people from one plot of land if you feed them a vegetarian diet rather than trying to feed them from the meat that you raise from animals who eat that same
food. Yeah, I understand that. Mm. But what about other things like, you know, eat more unpeeled potatoes? I don't mind eating unpeeled potatoes. I love a baked potato and eat the skin, but I'm not sure when they're mashed, it's not much chopped, but rye bread, fruits. But what about cheese? I mean, too much dairy is not too good for you.
Yeah, well, these Nazi physicians who advised the regime, they were really obsessed with protein. And they knew that if they tried to reduce meat in the German diet, they were going to have to find other protein sources.
So that's why the eggs and cheese got recommended.
And the unpeeled potatoes, that was part of a whole campaign that the German government had about making sure that Germans ate enough vitamins to keep their health, you know, because the vitamins of almost all fruits and vegetables with skins on them, it's right there, right in that, right on top.
Mm. I was interested to see that this guy divided food into three groups. Living, that's really fresh. Minimally processed, I would call something like a tomato passata, minimally processed maybe, and dead. And I often look at something on a menu and think, if it's fish or meat or something, and depending on where I am, how long since that thing was alive? Fish in particular, you know? And it's not a bad way to get an idea of what you should be ordering. If it wasn't alive very long ago, don't whack it in your mouth.
Yeah. Werner Kohlhaut is the person who came up with that tripartite division of foods, and he was playing with the ideas that people before him had come up with. But if you take away the politics, you know, that enabled that particular division of food, it does still make a certain amount of sense to people living in the 21st century, right? You try to eat as close to the source as possible. You try to eat food that is as minimally processed as possible. It makes a certain amount of sense.
Mm. I'm talking with Corinna Tritell, Professor of History at Washington University in St. Louis, about eating naturally and why the Nazis took up that slogan. Corinna, do you know what happened after the war with this? I mean, is this still something very much promoted in Germany, and has it been ever since the war? Or was this quite specifically related to having a country that was a fighting machine?
Right. Yes, that's a good question. So I'd say that the Nazis are really just a particularly nasty example, or it's a nasty episode of a longer-term interest in Germany in eating more naturally. It goes all the way back to the mid-19th century when it was very much associated with the progressive left and Democrats. And then it continued after the Nazis fell from power in 1945. And in fact, if any of your listeners have traveled in Germany, and I'm guessing that many of them have, they know that there are reform shops all over the place. Organic farming is still very, very popular in Germany. The current German government even has an official policy now of sustainable agriculture, which is really built on some of these ideas that the Nazis also promoted.
Yes. Look, I do understand that correlation is not causation. You often hear people saying, well, that happened then and it happened again on this occasion, so they link the two, and they're not necessarily linked. But I did worry a bit when you were talking about the Oklahoma City bombing of 1995 being planned on an organic farm in Michigan. And I'm wondering if there's some connection between nastiness and all this healthy eating. I might have to run out and buy, you know, something bad to eat.
Well, yeah, you know, so that would be a question for an American historian to answer. And to my knowledge, no one has ever investigated the connection. You're right, that may be a correlation. But I will say that the thing I find so fascinating about this topic, not just the German side of it, but, you know, more globally, this dream of eating naturally has been politically promiscuous in many different cultures. In Britain, also in the 20th century, there's been a far left and a far fascist right interested in natural foods and farming. I'm guessing something similar might be true in your part of the world. That political promiscuity is really what caught my attention.
My big concern with this, just as a matter of information, in my pantry, probably the only tin thing you'll find is, well, maybe some Asian fruit, palm seeds maybe, and processed tomatoes. We eat mostly fresh food. But I do worry that people seem to think that somehow there'll be some, I don't know, super benefit to the world if we all eat naturally, as if we go back to nature in our eating, our other ills will be fixed. And yes. I'm pretty sure they won't be. I agree with natural eating. It's a good thing. But if people think going back to nature like that will make us better people, it won't. That's in our hands alone, I think.
Yes. Well, I agree with you. That didn't stop anyone in the past from making exactly that argument that all the political and environmental problems and health problems of the world would be solved by eating naturally. That's part of the ideology, I think, of nature, you know, that drives these practices.
Personal view, I think those people are crazy, but the arguments in favour of natural food is a good thing. They had a fabulous poster, didn't they, that even kids could look at and think, yeah, I get it. All the good stuff up near the sun and heading towards heaven is great, and all the nasty stuff that I shouldn't be eating looks pretty average and terrible. They're great communicators.
Yes, that was actually a poster that Werner Kolak, that physician we were talking about earlier, came up with, and he drew it because he felt that words were no longer communicating to Germans the way that pictures could, and that if Germans were actually going to convert right to a more healthy diet, it was going to have to be delivered in very easy visual format.
Well, Corinna Tritell, you've certainly clued me into something I did not know, that the Nazis were big on this natural eating stuff. And I'm hoping that there is no correlation between what you eat and how you behave. Thanks for joining us from St. Louis.
Thank you.
To have natural food, you need natural soil. That would seem obvious. So why do we add this and take away that and then be surprised when it doesn't taste as good as it did before?